Once again, welcome here. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a privilege to stand before you in the name of our Savior. May thoughts have been placed upon my heart and upon this world set aside is a Mother's Day. We talk of many things. We look to their attributes and our fond memories and our thankfulness to our Lord for His divine plan and in all things there for us to enjoy, including our mothers and our fathers. And in which it is a reminder to us of our Heavenly Father. We look to Him in love and all those wonderful things that He has put before us. And so we think kind thoughts and memories and look forward to many wonderful times with our parents, you know. And to one another, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'd like to take and to look at a subject this morning that is crucially important. Now we know they all are, in the name of Jesus Christ. We have something that is foundationally very crucial and important to us that we look at, we realize, we live by, and to live in, and that is forgiveness. Because it touches upon all aspects of our life in many ways. And there are many facets of what it has to do with in our lives. There is something I wanted to say, first of all, before we take a look at a few scriptures. And that there may be the act of forgiveness or the receiving of it, but also there is the spirit of forgiveness. And that has to be through the Holy Spirit, of course. And we live in, we dwell in that precious Spirit, the Spirit of forgiveness. Because if the Lord's Spirit is not upon us, when we look to forgive or be forgiven, it is not truly exhibited because it could be held on to. Anyway, there's many aspects of forgiveness. And you know, there was a thought that came to me about the ministry. That there are times when we ask your patience, we ask your the spirit of enduring with our Lord, and in receiving what the ministry is trying to say, or trying to tend to, being your shepherds. And sometimes the spirit of forgiveness needs to be upon us all with that precious time when there are difficult things that need to be tended to as shepherds. And I was thinking about that as I was praying about standing before you this morning. And your brother and I, our brother Vern, in many years there are difficult things. There are joys, don't get me wrong, there are many joys. There is a reveling in the Spirit talking about great and wondrous things and precious things and powerful things. But there are things that sometimes break our hearts. And there are difficult things that we need your patience and your long-suffering because of what needs to be done at times. There is just like tending a garden. And we want to tend to watch each of us being within the Lord's bouquet to blossom and to bear fruit. But there are times when we need to pull weeds Because pulling those weeds, and the weeds in that garden can choke spiritual life. And that is the truth. In order to that the blossoms may occur, the fruit may be born. And there are times that I know that my brother and I need to tend to difficult things. So we need your loving consideration and patience. Sometimes the spirit of forgiveness. Because, you know, we may try the best we know how, but you know, we're not perfect. We're not perfect. But it's called to be obedient. And if we're not being obedient, we're not being any good as shepherds. Not being any good at all. I know it wasn't a week, maybe two ago, that our brother had read a scripture talking about the watchman upon Israel. And if he blow the horn, and they hear the call, that their souls may be saved from the enemy. If they blow the horn and they refuse the call, or they don't hear it, or they don't obey it, you know, then the watchman has done his job. And it gives more explanation upon it. But that is something that when we're caretakers in the garden, there are times we need to deal with difficult subjects. And there are times that you have many joys. And we joy together. And there's sometimes we shed tears together. And with those things in mind, I would like if you'd look with me into the scriptures this morning. And first of all, let's take a look, if you will, in 1 John 1. Book of 1 John, first just chapter. We need to realize about forgiveness, how powerful forgiveness is. And it can be that which stands between us and our eternal salvation. The mode of repentance, or the act of repentance, and the spirit of repentance, when a person is entering in and believing upon Jesus Christ and giving up maybe the ways of the world and reconciling themselves to God, making up their soul salvation, that forgiveness is needed. Because there is the sinful person that needs to understand that God is holiness, and you're approaching His throne of grace, and you need to give up the sins that you have maybe committed, or the old person that you had been, and the person that you are to become, that new creature created in Christ Jesus, and realizing, and you know, sometimes the most difficult person to forgive is yourself. And the Lord says that I will forgive you. Let's take a look. 1 John 1. I'd like to read verses 4 through 10. And he said, "These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which you have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth." It says, is Christ the minister to sin? God forbid. He's ministering us from sin. He doesn't want us to walk in sin. He doesn't want us to go back into sin. Because that is a spirit that is opposite the spirit of the Lord. The spirit of the world contains sinful ways. "If we walk in the light, and He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." And when a person comes to Jesus Christ, and they come to the body of Christ, and they come in and they sit down in fellowship with you, and listen to the Word, and we, as we read, or we preach, or we teach, that it is not a mess of accusations from one another within this room, that it is the Word, the truth of the Word of the eternal God, that does the convicting, you know, and through the Spirit to that person to change their ways. And they learn what is right in the sight of the Lord. Because we're all maybe here together, all with each of a different talents, but we're all looking in one direction and to the Lord. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you know, there's a choice there. If we will let Him cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it has been mentioned here before about the portrait of Christ, you know, that there was an artist that had drawn that he was reaching for the door, but the door had no handle because the door needs to be opened from the inside. These things, the Scriptures, His commandments, all these things in here have that which have to be unlocked from in here, inside your heart, from in your life, from in your ways. You need to unlock it. You need to make use of them. You need to be moved by them. If we say we have not sinned, if we say we have not sinned, He says we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. I'd like to go on into chapter 2, because you know I think that they're wonderful and they blend so much together. You really go on to the end of this chapter 1, you can't hardly help but wanting to go right on into chapter 2. And now just a couple verses. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. Give us this charge to sin not. You know, and which is a good thing for us to be acquainted and to look and to study. The Lord asks us to study and to look into and pray over His Word. We need to know what His commandment's about. We need to know what His Word is about. We may know what sin is about. We know what things are pleasing to Him. We know what things are not pleasing to Him. And the more that we will come in acquaintance with His Word and with His Spirit and in communing with Him, the more people say, you know, through His Word that there are these gray areas. Well, the more that we come into learning and maturity and understanding His Word, we can clear up those things. The gray area lies with us, doesn't it? Sometimes maybe wanting something more, maybe realizing something is too difficult to do, or something I may not want to do. But come in contact with His Word. And being in the body of Christ, that we are convicted by His Word. And through His Spirit. The Scriptures say that it is His Spirit that carries it into the hearts of the children of men. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now this is monumentally magnificent. So more wonderful than we can even know. We have an advocate. Oh, we need an advocate. If we never attained to any riches or to houses or material things of any worldly worth, but if we inherit that advocate, if we choose that advocate, if we make our soul salvation through that advocate, Jesus Christ, we have been truly wise. We have been truly wise beyond all things. We have found that treasure hidden in the field, that pearl of great price, and sold all that we had in order to buy that. That we knew of its inherent value, that we may inherit eternal life. Through this advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We live according to His Word and according to His statute, according to the gospel ways in our lives. We keep it and do good works because we love Him. And we are challenged unto virtue because of we love Him. But only through Jesus Christ. That we may be saved. Through that advocate. With Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. Not for ours only. But for the sins of the whole world. Hereby we know that we keep Him. If we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. The truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, and in him verily is the love of God perfected, hereby know we that we are in him. And one thing foundationally important and magnificent and important is this law of forgiveness. And it touches upon all areas of our life. We need to learn that we must be forgiven and that there can be sin in our lives and that we need to be forgiven. We need to ask for it and believe that we're going to receive it and to learn to accept it. When we ask for forgiveness from our Father in heaven, what does He do with that? If He's asked for, we ask for forgiveness, what does He do with that sin that He's forgiven you of? Is he going to take and rake you back over the coals for it down the road? What do you think?
He raises it as far as the east is from the west.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's take a look what the Scriptures say, also what it has to do with you and I. First of all, I'd like to take a look over into Matt 18, book of Matthew, 18th chapter. And we're going to spend just a little bit of time there in Matthew. Let's start the 21st verse. Matthew 18:21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus saith unto him, Not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Now, when we go beyond that, are we to stop? Or is he giving us the example of an indefinite number? The spirit of forgiveness. And we're going to find out how that's also essentially important and how that not only where we should be forgiving, but how we expect to be forgiven ourselves and our right to receive forgiveness, not of one of another, but to our God. Therefore, he says, is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which took account of his servants? And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10 talents. And inasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, I will pay thee all. And then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison until he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told on their Lord what was done. And when his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Should not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and he delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father also do unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Our Lord will give unto us that which we have rendered to others. Our Lord expects that of us. And the other thing is, what else do we learn from that very parable? Other servants told the Lord. What I'm trying to tell you is not that we're looking for tattletales, but there are others that you were exampling in front of. We were examples. Others noticed, didn't they? We have to take a look at those finer points the finer points within His precious law. And so the Lord forgets our sins. Should we forget others or trespasses? And you know, also speaks to our judgment, doesn't it? Let's take a look over in Matthew 7. Matthew 7th chapter. And as I'm speaking about this very subject, it also whispers to us, as we may talk about even what this day, you know, may be set aside about. We may talk about Mother's Day, the exampling that mothers do with their children. Oh, those little eyes see, don't they? They see forgiveness. And they look to be forgiven, as we would, you know, example our Father in Heaven wanting forgiveness of Him. And we have forgiven our children, even though they may have had a hand in the cookie jar, or maybe broken that lamp, or done things we shouldn't have. But we all have our memories of those things, don't we? So we hear those whisperings, don't we, of that which we've all remembered and savored of our parents. And I'll take a look, if you will, Matthew 7, 1 and 2. Judge not, you be not judged. What judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. It speaks volumes in those first two verses, doesn't it? Volumes. And the Lord looks upon you, and it talks about in the Scriptures about judgment must first begin at the house of God and first begin us. What shall be the end of those that obey not the gospel? Okay? They look to us. What about the example? The frame of mind that we should be in is how we're treating other people. Do you ever think to yourself, how would the Lord treat me if I were in that position? How would I want to be treated if I were in that situation in what I have done or said or felt? How would I feel if I heard that? You know, I have many thoughts, and I could have many words, and I know many truths. But you know, there are things that I know that may hurt a lot of people. There are things that I may have to say that could wound. But I'm going to tell you what, not everybody has a right. Even though I may know truths, not everybody may have a right to what I have to say. So we have to use spiritual discretion. Be careful about creating those issues that need to be healed. And one statement I was thinking about this morning, and as I was thinking about this subject, that we should not sit in the catbird seat of condemnation. You know, sometimes we think we're the ones that need to be doing the judging, or we're the ones that need to be pointing out the sin, or we're the ones that need to point out the comment. What's maybe the better example to live it? And we got to be careful that, you know, we're doing that, maybe doling out the judgment or whatever the matter, and not only will our Lord look upon us in that way, maybe more critical of us, but maybe we need to be looking that we have a beam or a mote in our eye, as Jesus said, that we need to pull out and work upon. I learned, and I'm sure you have too, that the humble approach. Sometimes it is that meekness and humble approach that was the answer. Good, bad, or indifferent, in order to reconcile. Let's look, if you will, Matthew 6, right over Matthew 6, and let's look at verse 12. And here we have a really interesting example. Talking a little about the Lord's Prayer. And in it, we find some very valuable and powerful information. He says, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. But if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours." That's His eternal word. If we do not forgive others, He will not forgive us. You know, it gives us all something to think about. It gives me something to think about, you know. And as I was looking upon this very subject, it touched my heart. Even the way I need to look at things. Because in the ministry, once again, there are things that we take a look at. We have to be careful. Because we're called to make determinations and look upon things. And it is important, essentially important, that we do it with loving compassion for one another. And like I said, that our my brother and I, Brother Vern and I, we appreciate your prayers, your patience and consideration in these many matters. As we, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, do the best that we know how. Just remember we're human. And that's probably, I know that in loving consideration, and Vern knows those shoes as well. He's worn them many times. And in why, there's many times that we will be, there will be a discussion. And I know that when some, that maybe I'll make a statement and Brother Vern may come in with a scripture or a compliment to the conversation, if you will. And he knows that I would do the best that I know how as well to compliment that the Word and the work of Christ is what is furthered. Because we know who our Lord and Master is. That the body of Christ may be furthered. And that is the work of the ministry, that we compliment one another, because we know that sometimes the stone's in the road, right, Brother Byrne? That's right. And over in, if you will, over to Mark 11, and we'll be back here in Matthew. So keep your place right approximately where you're at, too. Keep a finger there. Mark 11. And you know, these are just a smattering of all the scriptures available. And I have taken just a selection on the different ways in which it influences our lives. Mark 11, and I like to read verses 25 and 26. And once again, as I read a little earlier, Mark 11, 25 and 26. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. You know, that surely has something for me to think about. It surely gives me a fresh outlook to read that. To read it before you. I want the Lord to be merciful with me. I want the Lord to be patient with me. I want Him to be patient with you. And forgiving and loving, merciful through Jesus Christ unto you. That the work of His law be written upon your heart. And be written upon your heart, it surely will be in your ways. Once again, back in Matthew 5. Matthew 5. I have two verses, 43 and 44. here we find it may be getting a little more difficult, we think. "Ye have heard that hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." This is where the maturity in the gospel and its application in your lives, essentially important, that the love of Christ dwells in your heart. Sometime there are these difficult times, just as this is here, to pray for those that despitefully use us, that the Lord helps and wields His mighty Spirit and power in your situation, that you may do that which is pleasing in your Father's sight. Jesus says, don't give railing for railing. And you know, the world teaches us to give railing for railing, to give one up above another, to win the argument, to do the debate. When Jesus taught us to be wise serpents, harmless as doves, didn't He? Absolutely. Matthew 5:23 and 24. And here we see another aspect. "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hast aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first. Be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." We do not know how much baggage we carry before the Lord. And we cannot give the Lord our whole heart, attention, might, mind, and strength when we're carrying around that ball and chain. And I have a thought that was given to me this morning. If you don't forgive, you're dragging a ball and chain before the Lord. Comma, you're hurting yourself. We hurt ourselves. And I have testimony, maybe you do too, where the Lord powerfully convicts us in these situations that it needed to be taken care of because we were not able to give our all to the Lord. We were not able to give our all of the Lord. And you know something? There are times when I have felt led, and I know before we even have a sacrament, that we kneel down, have a prayer, have a season of prayer beforehand. Give someone an opportunity to give their all before the Lord. If there's any ought before them or anyone else, before them and the Lord, before and receive that which is most holy, the flesh and blood of Christ. That they may give their all, their heart, their attention, their love, devotion to the Lord. And so that's something to seriously consider, isn't it? And all those things, if we have that or ought, and we haven't given that up, and haven't forgiven, or there is a matter, you know, that our heart and our attitude, our judgment, and our example to others is clouded and held back. And the energy is not there. To others, to the body of Christ, to our children. Our children see so many things. And that example is so important. And we need to example to them of humbleness and also humility and meekness. What kind of a powerful example would it be for that little one to see mother or dad kneeling together in prayer in the halls, pouring out their cares before the Lord, or praying before the meals, or taking them to church? The power of that example is beyond our knowing. We have to be careful that we can say that we forgive, but still hold on to bitterness. Is that forgiveness? We can say that we forgive, we can mouth the words, but is it? If we've held something, does the Lord hold on to ours? Something to think about, isn't it? I'd like to take a turn, if you will, over to Galatians 6. Book of Galatians, in the 6th chapter. And I'd like to read verses 1 through 10. And this has to do with that spirit of forgiveness and the portions of our life where we can say that we've also forgiven someone and such. But really, has it? And the Lord talks to us about those who are even overtaken in a fault. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, verse 1, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You know, with the attitude of Christ that we should be rendering and should be exhibiting. You know, that person that's suffering that, and I'm not saying that you could suffer the very same thing, but maybe something else just as devastating. Wouldn't you want the understanding and the patience and the love and the prayers and the upholding of your brothers and sisters, those around you as well? Jesus taught us, do unto others, you should have them do unto you. How powerful is that? Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Remember, he says, keep my laws, keep my commandments. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. He says, if one is happy in here, we should be happy with them. If one is sorrowful, let's lift them up. Let's minister to them. Let's try lifting them up. If a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, but not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And that's the spiritual law of Christ that drives the mechanism we call of the heart, or the understanding of what the will of the Lord is spiritually, and which drives each person, the devotion and the love, the conviction that God is who He is, His gospel is what He is, His Son is our Savior who He is, and that we live according to that forgiveness. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith, your brothers and sisters, because not only is our example important, it's essentially important, you know, in here, as we forgive our brothers and sisters, and essentially important that it not be within the body of Christ, because it causes a spiritual rift, and the work of the gospel is hindered in one way or another. And so it's essential. It talks about us coming to the unity of the knowledge in the faith of the Son of God. It was talking about the work of the ministry in that passage in 1 Corinthians. But the unity of the body, that the work may be furthered, that other souls may be saved, that spiritual gifts also may be born, that we may see, they talk about the greater things, prophecy and revelation and healings, gifts, diversities in the Spirit, these talents that are here, but they can be hindered by contention. We know ultimately who the basis and foundation of contention is. That spirit of contention that would like to cause it and drive it and fuel it. First statement I believe I was given. Forgiveness is of God. The opposite is not. Making or fueling or a party of contention is not. It is not of God. I'd like to turn, if you will, over to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. I'd like to read verses 2 through 13. And we see a purity and understanding, I believe, in this forgiveness. And it talks about, and though I have the gift of prophecy, I understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. Talk about great and wondrous and powerful things. He talks about how powerful and how wonderful the meek things are, the base things of this world, to confound those things which are mighty. Why did Jesus set a little child in his midst and say, you must become as a little child, or you cannot inherit the kingdom of God? And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether it be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. We find that those things also are a leading to the coming of Christ, the Lord in His glory. That which is perfect is come. And our Lord, we know, is coming. And when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I become a man, I put away childish things. And now we see through a glass darkly. But then face to face, I know in part, but then I shall know even also as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. We know that's the pure love of Christ. Looking through the glass darkly. Face to face, we're going to see our Savior. And so I know in part, but then I think this is speaking of the resurrection. Then I shall know even also am I am known. And it's a spirit of restoration to our knowledge of a perfect understanding of who we are in His sight and who we have been and all things concerning ourselves within the resurrection and judgment, according to the truth which is in Christ. I have one other thing that I would like to read to us this morning, and that is, it is in Ephesians, in the 4th chapter. I'd like to read verses 31 and 32. And this is very powerful in our Christian lives. Our hope. Our spiritual driving mechanism within us. Our joy. Our crown through Jesus Christ. And He charges us in these verses to let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, with that great energy, okay? And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And that is a great and a wondrous and a powerful promise to each and every one of you, to all of us. There are many facets and many, many scriptures on this very subject, and as deep as we might go within the glory of the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. Take a look what he talks about in the so-called Beatitudes in Matthew. Take a look at those attributes. Blessed are the meek. And blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the children of God. Those that shall bring reconciliation in many ways. That things may, that the will of God, the glory of the Lord, the praise of the Lord will be exemplified. And He shall be exalted in your day, in your time, that maybe by you being used in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you this morning for your time, your love, and your prayers.